Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In a broad-reaching speech today on the Middle East, President Obama called peace between Palestinians and Israelis more urgent than ever and proposed that Israelis accept a Palestinian state based on the 1967 borders.
Palestinians should know the territorial outlines of their state. Israelis should know that their basic security concerns will be met.
He also described a wave of optimism sweeping the Arab world and said it's critical that the U.S. supports the emerging democracies.
And though these countries may be a great distance from our shores, we know that our own future is bound to this region by the forces of economics and security, by history and by faith.
The president also outlined a massive aid package to fledgling Middle East and North African democracies and excoriated dictators for their repression of human rights. The speech comes on the eve of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's visit to the White House and just days after the resignation of Obama's special envoy for the Middle East, George Mitchell, who spent several fruitless years in his bid for peace. Fawaz Jurjez is professor of Middle Eastern politics and international relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Fawaz, can you start by ticking through the highlights of this speech? Did he strike the right tone?
I think he did. I think he basically pushed all the right buttons on the Arab revolutions. He positioned the United States on the right side of history. It's the most advanced, positive, and progressive position that the United States has ever taken towards democratic transformation in the Arab world. He talked about economic transition, about economic development. He talked not only about enemies, but also about friends. He mentioned Bahrain and Yemen as allies of the United States, and he said they must reform, and they must reform sooner rather than later. He talked about the Arab-Israeli conflict. He talked about a demilitarized Palestinian state, and also he talked about the state that has based on the 1967 borders.
Yeah, going to that point, I mean, the president is taking a strong stand there, saying that Israel should roll back to the 67 or pre-war borders. And that would be controversial because it means giving up a significant amount of territory. How do you think that's going to be received here and in the United States and abroad?
Well, that's not a very controversial point at all, Monica. This is the position of the international community. This is the position of the United Nations. This is the position of the U.S. legal documents on the Palestine-Israel conflict. But this is not the position of Israel or its allies. You're absolutely correct. But what the president has tried to do is basically to say, look, if you are genuine about peace settlement, if you are genuine about putting an end to the Palestine-Israel conflict, you must have two states. One Jewish secure Israeli state and one independent, viable, sovereign Palestinian state, contiguous state on the territories of the 1967 border. I think this is the way to go. Of course, he's going to face some criticism, but realists and idealists realize this is the only way to proceed forward.
Well, how does it set up his talks with Prime Minister Netanyahu?
Well, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu not only does not believe in a settlement based on international consensus, that is basically an independent, sovereign, viable, contiguous Palestinian state. Israeli Prime Minister basically has refused to even suspend partial settlement construction on the West Bank and in East Jerusalem. So the divide between the American president and the Israeli president is indeed huge. And what the president said, he made it very clear, that friends must speak the truth to one another, in particular in light of the historical developments that have shaken the Arab world in the last 6 months.
Fawaz, stay on the line. I want to bring in Thanasi Kambanis, a journalist and author of A Privilege to Die, Inside Hezbollah's Legions and Their Endless War Against Israel. He listened to the speech in Cairo. He's on the streets now on a bad phone line. But Thanasi, what can you tell me about the reaction to the speech in Cairo and about what the president said about Israel and its borders?
Well, that was the only applause line in the speech. When he said that the borders would be based on the 67 Green Line, there was actually raucous applause in the crowd of people I was watching the speech with. The only other time that they even reacted was when he mentioned that the U.S. would forgive Egypt's debt And that drew tepid applause. The rest of the reaction was quite skeptical. People liked the tone of the speech, but they essentially said, we're waiting to see what actions follow these nice-sounding words.
And, talking about that economic stimulus package, Obama, you know, said it's necessary to support these democracies financially, and he pledged $1 billion in aid to Egypt, another $1 billion in debt relief. You say that that went over well on the streets of Cairo, Thanasi. But, Fawaz, what sort of, is this going to be enough? How much difference will that make?
Monica, a very, very baby, tiny step. Egypt, you're talking about $100-200 billion. Of resources that need to be invested in the institutional and financial and the infrastructure. We're talking about a huge task. What the president has done is to really begin a conversation about the great challenges facing Egypt and Tunisia. It was a speech about intentions, about a desire. Of course, the $1 billion matters a great deal to Egypt and the Egyptians. But this is just a tiny baby step in the right direction.
And Thanasi, in Cairo, though, you said it was very well received. They think it will help?
Well, the thing that actually several people I interviewed afterwards repeated was they said money's nice, moral support is nice. What they really want to see is America put pressure on the Egyptian military to back off and to not revert to a soft dictatorship. That's the hope that people in the crowd and on the streets have, and frankly, they heard nothing in the president's speech either way to give them confidence there.
You know, the president also had words for the dictators who haven't been removed by peaceful movements in Syria, Libya, Bahrain. Obama offered some tough talk. Here he is talking to President Assad of Syria.
The Syrian people have shown their courage in demanding a transition to democracy. President Assad now has a choice. He can lead that transition or get out of the way.
He said stop unjust arrests, release political prisoners. Fawaz, how do you think this demand is likely to be met by leaders in Syria and Bahrain?
I doubt it very much whether the leaders in Bahrain and Syria would listen to President Obama. And in fact, if you listen carefully what the president said tonight, he even left a way out for President Assad. He said, you either leave or lead the way. But the reality is the very survival of the Syrian regime is online. President Assad is fighting for his very survival, the survival of his regime. And I doubted very much whether the Assad regime will listen to President Obama. In the case of Bahrain, the game is over. Basically, the Bahraini government, along with the Saudi government, basically decided to crack down and oppress the opposition. But the reality is the president's words matter. The United States now is on record, basically opposing dictatorship and supporting the right of self-determination. The most important point made by the president today is about self-determination. Self-determination for the Arab people, whether they're in Egypt or Syria or Yemen or Bahrain or Palestine. And he also talked about the question of dignity, that the United States will not just only pursue its narrow-based interests, that will support the idea of democracy and freedom and dignity. These are very powerful words. The speech has positioned the United States on one of the most progressive fault lines in the Middle East. And I think overall the speech is one of the most developed and advanced U.S. statements on the Arab Middle East.
Fawaz Georges of the London School of Economics and Political Science, thank you. And we also spoke with Thanasi Kambanis in Cairo. Thank you both.